Welcome back to another episode of Trading Secrets. Today, we are joined by Mark Notriani, Executive Vice President at Intuit, where he leads customer success and expert platforms for products like QuickBooks and TurboTax. Mark's story is a powerful example of long-term career growth and leadership evolution. From his early days managing teams and customer experience to now overseeing global strategy at one of the world's leading financial technology companies, Mark's career is built on a mix of people first, leadership, and also business transformation. Today, we'll talk about how he navigated his path to executive leadership, what it takes to thrive inside a major organization, and the lessons he's learned about mentorship, career resilience, and defining success. Mark, thank you so much for not sharing secrets.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me, Jason. I totally appreciate it. It's exciting to be here.
I'm so pumped. And you know what, guys, behind the scenes, Mark's resume is stacked. I'm telling you, it's as stacked as it gets from where he's worked, but we got his first podcast.
I'm super excited.
We got a first for the resume.
Put it on the resume. I love it.
All right. Now, obviously, where you work, what you do, and the products that you're working on impact everything we do at Trading Secrets. But I first want to start about your career a little bit. So I always think about someone who's in an executive vice president role today, managing, you know, so much impact, where it started. So what's your first job ever? And what did it kind of teach you about leadership and money?
Well, that's a great question. You know, my first job ever actually was in London, where I went to high school for my first 2 years of high school, my freshman and sophomore year. And I got a job at Baskin and Robbins in Swiss Cottage.
Wow.
And it was amazing.
Like scooping the ice cream?
Scooping the ice cream. Wow. I was at the front and I became known for making incredible milkshakes.
What was your favorite flavor?
Well, my favorite flavor actually of the ice cream was peanut butter and chocolate.
Oh, no.
But I had this one client. This is actually, it's very funny. I had this one client who used to bring in his dates. And he would always have a Jamocha almond fudge milkshake.
Okay.
And he said, it's the best one he ever had. And he'd always bring his dates in on those nights. And I guess what that taught me was, you know, what you do matters, right, to that individual and what they're looking for at that moment in time. And you never know, you know, what your skills are. I always loved ice cream. I didn't realize I could make a great milkshake.
So. Oh, wow.
And I just learned the value of customer service. And, you know, it's much more than the product. It's the experience is, I guess, what I learned there.
Yeah.
And so it was super fun.
It's funny how scooping ice cream could lead to like a mission then that actually connects to like what you're doing every day.
Totally. Today. And I had no idea actually at the time. It was just like I was making my first paycheck. It was incredible. And I enjoyed what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed serving the customers.
Yeah.
And I think that's stuck with me. Obviously, at that time, at 16 years old, I was just like, I got a paycheck. This is cool.
Yeah.
But you kind of reflect back on how it shaped me. It's pretty wild.
That's awesome.
And the other part of it was really interesting. This kind of connects to Intuit and why I love Intuit. It was two Ugandan refugees that actually owned that Baskin and Robbins.
Wow.
And so they built their whole life on that franchise. When I was working with them, they had one store.
Okay.
I went back years later after I got married and with my kids, and he ended up having like 8 stores.
Wow.
He was still there in the same store that I was at, and I talked to him.
Wow.
And of course he remembered me, and that was flattering a little bit, right?
Yeah.
But it was just also like, wow, that's a cool story.
Yeah.
Like this, he immigrated in, built this amazing franchise and built a life for his family. He's like, he was rolling the cones in the back like I used to do with him.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know what? This is, I don't need to do this. I just love doing it.
Yeah. I mean, I think that I see the connection too with Intuit and the foundation of where you guys are, but like where you continue to grow
totally
off that foundation, similar to, again, scooping ice cream. I got to say though, I remember working at a bank headquarters and I was young. I was like 22 and I would see the executives. I'd be like, oh my God, like how'd they get there, right? And I think a lot of people listen to this podcast and they're in that position in their career where they want to get there, but they're just like, it's no longer a ladder. It's no longer a blueprint.
Yeah.
I think whether you're like a nurse in a hospital and want to get into like leadership and management, or you're teaching at a school and want to be a principal, or you're working in a corporation and want to be an executive vice president, the question is, how'd you get there? So what would you say about an early decision that you made in your career that probably changed your trajectory to actually getting there? And any advice for people trying to figure out like, how do you climb the ladder to the top?
Yeah, you know, and I love the way you described it. It's not laid out for you anymore, right? Like I remember having this conversation with my dad when I first started. He's like, just go explore, be intellectually curious no matter what you're doing. My first corporate job, I literally took sales orders from the sales team that I supported in Detroit, Michigan. and put them into the system, and then would track them for them to make sure that the products that it was a point of sale company, ATM company, that we would actually meet our deadlines, et cetera. So I started to engage with the salespeople. I was a finance major in college, and I just started being curious, and I started asking them questions. Oh, what's Kmart at the time? That was one of our customers. What are they like? It's like, well, if you're interested, come on a sales call with us.
Yeah.
And so I started doing that. I ended up getting into sales. I had no preconceived notion that I wanted to do that in my career. But I think that's the most important thing, is don't expect something to be laid out. It's your curiosity that's going to take you on a path to what you will end up doing. I never thought I'd get into customer success. I didn't think when I was at Michigan State University studying finance that my career would end up being a customer success leader. But I got into it and I loved it because it connected me with customers, a lot of data and math, right? And a puzzle, right? Like, how do you thread experiences together for that customer at that one time that would keep them with you? And so just be very intellectually curious. Don't think that there's anything ever laid out for you by a company, because there isn't. It's really, really up to you as an individual. Now, a lot of companies have great programs, right? For like the company that I started with had a great financial analyst program for new grads, right? Okay. That's what I got into. But I veered off of that very quickly because I was just exploring.
Yeah, when you're in that position of curiosity and exploring and like working all these different angles to learn as much as you can, I think a lot of people do that. But one of the challenges they have is, how do you get the leadership above you to kind of recognize that you've done that? Do you have any advice for people that if they have that curiosity, the things that you're detailing, but they're just not being seen, to making sure that like you're doing some form of self-promotion?
Yeah, I think a lot of it's another great question. I think back, you know, you connect dots. You know, when you get to my age, you start to look back and you connect dots. And one of the things that I learned very early on that front is don't be intimidated. And I'll tell you a story about that. But we're just people, and we've all had our struggles and our paths that were sometimes great, sometimes challenging to get to the positions that we were in. And sometimes when you're new in your career and you're just starting off, it's like, oh, Mark has done this. There's no way I can engage with Mark, right?
Sure.
Like, it's like intimidating a little bit,
even
though I don't, you know, that's not how I think. But I had a conversation with a VP once after a sales call, and it was a great sales call. My flight was delayed with him going back to Dallas. I was living in Dallas at the time from San Antonio. And I said, what the heck, man? I'm going to go have a conversation. And I started unpacking what I thought, what I did. The next day, what I told him is, I really want to get into international business.
Interesting.
The next day, I get a call from the marketing manager in Latin America for this business. And they flew me out for an interview. And I ended up getting that job. I met my wife in Argentina as a result of that.
Get out of here. So
it's the power of like not holding yourself back and being intimidated by people's titles or status, but breaking it down and being, they're just people. And I can have a conversation with them and it could lead to something like it did for me on that that time. And I was not happy, by the way, about the delay. I was like, I gotta go back to Dallas.
Sure.
You know, it was a Friday night or whatever.
Yeah.
But the power of that conversation and just actually putting it out there with someone that has achieved a lot. This person was an incredible leader in the company that I was in. If I had been like, oh, they're not going to want to talk to me, they're too busy, right? And I hear that for people coming to me too. It's like, I know you're super busy.
Sure.
Like, I'm not that busy, right? You know, have the conversation and put yourself out there. You never know where it's going to go.
It's a good point, because like people will only know what you show, right?
Exactly.
And if you're not just showing in just an informative way of like, hey, this is what I think, this is where I want to be, I have an opinion based on the work I've done, how would he have known that you have the skill set worth that call? And you think about that call, how it changed your life with your wife and everything.
Totally.
Also, just side note, is there anywhere in the world you haven't lived at this point?
You know,
I'm here
funny.
In Detroit.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. It's been I'm what they call a third culture kid.
Okay.
I grew up most of my life overseas because of my dad's role. But my dad was born and raised in Detroit, Michigan.
No way.
But as soon as he finished school, he went to Michigan State, which is where I ended up going.
Do you know Plymouth?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Are you from Plymouth?
Oh, I know some special people from Plymouth. Dairy King? You know Dairy King?
Yeah.
See, we know.
That's so funny. My grandparents lived in Northville.
Okay, gotcha.
forever. Yeah, so that was kind of like our home base in the U.S. when we came back to visit.
That's good stuff. I love it. All right, we're talking a lot of ice cream talk here. Let me ask you this. You're at Intuit. You're running a multi-billion dollar brand right now. Well, I'm always curious, like, what does an average day look like for you? And what are some of the biggest challenges you probably come across in a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, it's an incredible job, and I feel incredibly blessed actually to have it. One of the things that I really love about it is, and this is why I've stayed at Intuit for as long as I have, is customer centricity. We really focus on customer problems, what they're trying to solve. In my case, on the consumer side, right, all about personal finance. How do you improve your credit scores? How do you start to build wealth? How do you maximize your tax situation so that you can kind of progress and grow and build what you want to build towards, right? Whatever your definition of prosperity is. And so our daily area right now, it's changed a lot, actually. We focus on those problems. We build capabilities. We review data. We make decisions. And I think that's the hardest part is, how do you prioritize? You know, what's your one to end list? Because there's an infinite number of things that you could go do, but what are the two, three most important things? And those are hard discussions, right? Sure. Those are usually people are coming in from, you know, maybe the 10th most important thing, positioning it. And so you're kind of working through all of that. And those are very hard decisions to make. What's really been exciting now is with Gen AI, those decisions are happening almost every minute of every day.
Crazy.
Like the speed and pace with which you need to innovate and solve those same consumer problems has gone up exponentially.
It's crazy.
It's wild.
And would you say that's due to the speed at which competition's also integrating solutions for clients? Or would you say the speed is just what everything is moving right now?
Yeah, I think it's both. I think it's, you have to be connected to the technology and how it's advancing and how it solves those customer problems that you're trying to solve. And if you're not moving at that pace, somebody else will. So that's the competitive side, right? And it does open up a much broader competitive field as well. So, that's the pace has changed an awful lot. You know, one of the things at Intuit's changed from, we started off as a DOS company, which, you know, you were not around in that era. But, you know, to go from that, right, which is making and shipping those big floppy disks out to customers.
I remember my dad's little box he'd have and be collecting dust of those things.
That's what I had, the same thing, and I collected the same thing. My dad had that. He
those
got me into
paper things they
in
them.
And then you save them. I just got rid of mine, actually, maybe not more than a couple of years ago. But moving from that to the era of AI, of Gen AI in particular, has been amazing as a company. And what I've noticed is, I've been there from the switch from desktop to basically SaaS-based products. It was fast. It's hyperdrive now in the world of Gen AI. And what's exciting about it is, it allows you to serve customers in so many different ways.
Yeah,
using their data and hyper-personalized. Like before, you could work and solve and serve customers, but it was more on averages. Now it's just broken up. Everybody has a different story. You know, my story of having the conversation with the VP is just my story, right? Everyone has their own story when it comes to their personal life, right? They just moved, or they want to travel, or they're trying to buy a home, or they're trying to pay down debt that they may have taken on. And everybody just has their own personal journey towards where they are. And now we can serve them in those personalized ways because of generative AI. And we've never been able to do that before. And so it's like incredibly exciting, but it's fast.
It's fast. It's moving faster than anything we've ever seen.
Ever.
I also do think there's so many times in this podcast, our listeners hear AI and they get freaked out and they're scared. What I love about this conversation, it's a whole different disposition on the fact that Gen AI will actually serve as a tool for you. So one of our biggest mantras is like financial transparency, learning the things we weren't taught in the school system, helping with customization, not cookie cutter solutions. And what's good here is that we're hearing that AI is working in our favor for all that. Now, I know majority of people listening know into it. But also, if it's sounding a little unfamiliar to you, what might sound much more familiar to you is TurboTax, right? Credit Karma, yeah. Books, MailChimp, all of those. So we're going to get into that. A couple more things on the personal side before we do get into that. I'm always just curious, someone at an EVP level, what are the things that stress you? Like when you think about like anxiety or stress, what are the things that stress you? And then also, as far as like time management, how do you manage your schedule? Because, you know, people do come to you with the assumption you're busy and you are a good leader, so you'll take those calls, but you are extremely busy. So how do you actually manage that? And what are the things that create like personal anxieties with it?
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny. People ask me like what keeps me up at night a lot.
Sure.
Same type of thing.
Sure.
Most of my anxiety comes from what my kids are doing.
I love that.
But in the job, it goes back to pace, right? Okay. I think right now that's where I get the most concerned. Like, are we moving fast enough? Are we bringing solutions to consumers fast enough to keep us ahead of the curve?
Yeah.
Right. So that's a real challenge for executives today, right? Because we all have a history, right? Our history goes back 40 plus years. And so you're working against a historical model. I could, you know, for example, when we shifted from desktop to online, it was a massive change. The company operated very differently in a desktop world. It was all waterfall and very linear up to that point that you produce and then ship.
Yeah.
When we went online, it was all much more agile and you had to move. And it was a big change in terms of speed as well. And so this is where I think really successful executives embrace the change. And I think successful teams embrace the idea of continuous change. Mm. Don't try to settle on what was, because what was is not going to be what is going to carry you forward. And right now with generative AI, where it's going is totally undefined, and embrace that excitement.
Yeah.
But there is anxiety that comes with that. It's like, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know exactly how to think about experiences. I just got to start doing them.
Mm, interesting. I find that at the executive level leadership and those I get to talk to, there's always been a gap of trying to understand the new generations coming on board, to understand how they operate and what they do. Like, of course, Gen Z. I do feel, and this is words of encouragement. I'm hoping the answer is encouraging, but Gen Zs that do listen to the show often will send us messages, DMs, or emails. Their concern is we're being outsourced by AI and we are having troubles with our jobs. But as I'm hearing you talk, especially someone as an executive leader who's been through all these changes, it feels as though experience and information that Gen Z could provide someone like you that works at Intuit is a massive, massive
huge
benefit, because it's never changed so fast. So your need to understand their generation has become so much greater. And that's what I tell Gen Zs when I'm talking to them. Like, you have to know AI. If you do, you'll know more, you'll earn more.
Absolutely.
You'll go further.
Absolutely.
From your level, is that something you agree
Absolutely.
With?
Absolutely. And I give that advice to my kids too. They're 20-year-olds now. You've got to embrace it.
Okay.
Now, again, the pace is very different, but the construct was not much different than when I entered the workforce. It's when Microsoft Office was introduced.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And everything was on mainframes before. And so this whole concept was very strange in this distributed computing.
Right.
And I was young at the time entering the workforce, and I would bring those skills, and it opened up all kinds of opportunities for me. I think it's the same thing for Gen Z today. Natively, they understand even the beyond AI, social media, the influencers, the concept of that didn't exist when I started.
Right.
And it's an amazing world.
That's crazy.
It's undefined in many ways, but that's part of the fun, is embrace it. And actually, when you do, it'll actually open up all kinds of opportunities for you, because that's where business and commerce and interactions with customers are going.
Yeah, it's crazy. I was at dinner last night and it was influencers meet startups meet investors. So it was a really cool nuance of three different groups, right? But what's interesting is, when I was talking to the influencers and all the startups, every single one of them started 2020 and later. all the creators, they weren't creators. Wild. They weren't influencers. These startups didn't exist. And you think about the speed at what has happened in the last 5 years in that space, you just can't make it up. It's the world is changing, and either you change with it or you're going to be behind. So we're going to talk about the tools that you're implementing. Before we do, the last question I got for you, this is more of a personal curiosity, the time management. Yeah. How do you block that? How do you have a strategy or a trading secret?
I do. I have a very strict prioritization process in my mind of what I prioritize and how I make sure I carve out time for that. Okay. So for instance, my family is very important to me.
Yeah, of course.
And there are times and events that I won't work in. And I've been very clear about that. I think we own more of defining that than it being defined for us. Mm. And so I prioritize that over my entire career. My dad did it really well. And my mom and dad did it very well. And so I kind of learned from them. But also I prioritize my own personal health every morning. And I'm pretty strict about that. And then I have two different ways that I prioritize the work side of it. One is, what are the four or five biggest experiences that I need to stay connected to?
Okay.
And I do that weekly.
Gotcha.
And then I encourage a lot of, and I learned this in my days, I worked at a company where they had a philosophy called managing by walking around, which is go be visible. Go sit in the coffee in the cafe if you have one. Talk to people where they are. And so I schedule time for that.
Interesting.
And I have coffee down in our cafe that we have in San Diego.
Yeah.
And I meet with people and I talk and I know what they're doing in many ways. And you try to connect on that. I find that I learn way more than they learn.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I think that's a very important philosophy that I have that's helped me manage my time and actually learn what's going on and help people either build careers or remove barriers for work. Mm-hmm. And that's how I manage it. But I do block off time for my own personal health. It's very, very important. I think we lose that.
Yeah.
And I prioritize my family. And then after that, this is how I work. Is around like big priorities for the company, as well as making sure I meet and spend time with people doing the work, but meet them where they are versus making them come to me.
I like it. The visibility aspect and then the reverse engineering of the priorities makes perfect sense. Big priorities for work. You guys have some big priorities right now. So you are leading the charge and launching the new tools and AI agents that we just discussed. But tell me a little bit more about Intuit's consumer platform and what is the overall goal when you think about bringing TurboTax and then Credit Karma together more closely? And then kind of like, what does that look like?
For sure. Yeah. You know, we've got incredible brands and each has kind of grown up independent of each other. Credit Karma, an incredible brand with 140 million members.
Wow.
It's just an incredible platform. And it started by solving the credit problem, right? Like, how do you understand what your credit is? Mm-hmm. And then how can you manage through that? And then that unlocks your financial life.
Sure.
In TurboTax, right, we serve 40 million tax filers every year. And it's really, we meet with our customers twice a year. Like in essence, 2 days out of the year, we work with our customers. Mm. But what we do is incredibly intense, right? Your taxes are intense on many dimensions, right? And it's generally the largest paycheck of an American consumer every year, right? On average, a refund's around $3,000 plus.
That's a really good point. I've never like heard it framed like that.
Yeah.
And that's why we need, because when you hear tax, anyone that hears tax right now is like, oh God. But that is, I mean, you got to just look at the priority. That is the largest paycheck that you're paying. So like, put the guard down and like listen to solutions.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And you know, it's a great point. It's one of the first things I learned 18 years ago or 17 years ago, coming up on 18 in my career at Intuit. I was the director of call centers.
Yeah.
And I came into TurboTax and my dad introduced me to TurboTax, right? Like he did his taxes that way.
Sure.
But I got on the phone calls my first week at Intuit and I started to listen to what customers do. I didn't appreciate it. It was the same. I had the kind of the same aha moments like, this is their biggest paycheck.
Yeah.
This means a lot to people and it funds paying down debt or, you know, if you want, invest, right? Or if you can, go buy something that you want to go buy, right? Yeah. At that moment in time. So it's amazingly empowering. And I didn't understand that until I started talking to customers.
Sure.
So now, like, we've got this incredible brand, this incredible service, and it means a lot to people in TurboTax. It means way more than I even thought when I first started, right? And then you have Credit Karma. We did not work together. We bought Credit Karma 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And now what we're doing is we're building a platform that can serve our customers better every day, right? We're going to be deploying, and this is where the power of agentic AI really comes in.
Okay.
Is now we can start to do things for customers, always with them in control. So for instance, we will have a debt assistant.
Okay.
We will have all the data on a customer. We linked all that data so we could see where is your debt, how often and how much are you paying on that debt? And our agents go to work for a customer. And now this debt agent will come up and surface an option for you to consider to consolidate your debt. Let's say you're carrying high interest rate credit card debt.
Yeah.
We can scan what is the best solution for you, actually come up and make that offer to you and say you should consolidate your debt into this personal loan and it'll save you $8,000 over the life of you know, whatever, or wow, it'll save you $1,000. And we do all of that work for the customer, surface it up to them, and they click a button and say, yeah, you know what, I want to do that. And then it takes care of it in the app. Actually, and our platform takes care of it for the customer.
Interesting.
And that starts to build and change people that are in revolving debt.
As
and we know 57% of our customers of that 140 million have revolving debt in our platform. And so we can help them make better decisions. Your credit score, super, super important for you as a your financial life. It really does set up what you can and can't do and how much it's going to cost you to do the things you want to do.
Right.
And so we're deploying Credit Spark, which is another agent that will monitor, measure, and look for opportunities to drive significant increases in your credit scoring.
Wow.
And that happens every day. It's with utilities, it's with rent, and no one's captured that to be able to influence your credit score.
Smart.
So now, you know, we're in that flow and doing that year round. Also, when you look at like tax, that refund, $3,500, let's just say you get back at the end of the year, what do you do with it?
Mm-hmm.
We used to stop there, say, congratulations,
yeah, here's
your money. We now have a refund assistant we're going to be deploying.
Okay.
And based on all that data and information, what you're doing year round, we have 70,000 points of financial data on each consumer in our platform. 70,000.
Wow.
You can use that data to say, you know, here are the three things you should do with the $3,500. Pay down this debt, invest in this high yield account, and then go have fun with the other, right?
Yeah.
Whatever it might be. And we can actually do that for them once we lay it out as well. And so it's a really, this is where it gets like back to our earlier conversation, the power of personalization and data and applying generative AI to that is incredible. And then for us, we have in our whole strategy is an AI driven expert platform. We have 15,000 roughly experts, tax experts that sit on our platform, CPAs, enrolled agents that can really help customers get the most out of their refund or maximize their tax return. And we connect that all digitally as well. And that allows customers then that are maybe looking for that human interaction, that confidence that comes from talking to a true expert, all embedded in our platform. And they're literally a click away. And what's really fun about that side of it, this is where also AI helps us, is we actually map what and who you are to the right expert for you based on many dimensions. One is your location, right? So sitting in New York City, we have experts in New York City. We can connect you that really understand taxes in the city and how they apply to you. Or if you're a small business, we have expertise by domain.
Wow.
And so AI allows us to do actually all of that really super intelligent mapping versus just dropping you into someone and hopefully you get connected to the right person.
Right. Makes so much sense. I think about just like with finances, there are so many corners to cover.
Mm.
And I think what happens or what has happened to date is that you have these silos. And because you have these silos, people are incentivized and they're earning differently within these silos. So they can only help you with one thing. You have financial advisors who are only being paid based on their return. So they don't want to talk about your debt structure, your credit, because they're not incentivized to do it, right? Totally. Or you have people that are consolidating debt, but then they have no connection to your taxes. Or you have people that are doing taxes, but have no connection to how are you earning money on your refund, right? And the problem that we have today is people are turning to 15 different experts and not getting solutions, or they're not getting the right advice because those people are incentivized by their personal P&L, their personal income. So to see the full like 360 approach is something we haven't seen before. It connects to our early conversation about how AI can be beneficial, because we aren't taught this stuff in school. We don't know how to operate this stuff. And quite frankly, I think majority of Americans don't want to. They're like, it's cumbersome, it's too much. But I think with a tool like this, when you have like a consultative approach where you're getting like proactive mm-hmm. information of like, hey, this is today, think about this for your credit score, given your situation, you can do this, totally. It'll improve it. That's how people can actually find solutions. Now, a question I have for you then. So Credit Karma, of course, is the process of understanding your credit, improving your credit. And now with Gen AI, it will be understanding your credit, improving your credit, offering solutions to actually take action, and then giving you tips along the way. I have to assume that when you have a debt piece of this too, if you're paying interest, mm-hmm. right, there are things that you can capture when it comes to the interest that you pay on your debt in your taxes.
Absolutely.
So is there a customized approach between Credit Karma and the information you put to then make sure it's captured in your taxes?
Absolutely. And it's what we're calling our tax assistant
okay.
within the Credit Karma app.
Okay.
That you engage with daily, weekly, it's capturing information about your taxes.
Okay.
And by the time you get to tax season, it's 80% done, right? So the data, the information. Yeah. And so we saved millions and millions of hours last year mm-hmm. of tax prep time for consumers last year. It's going to go into hyperdrive with this, right? Because of the year-round engagement, because of the data attributes and the organization of that data, you'll arrive at tax time, 84% done, connect with an expert.
Wow.
They'll review it, make some recommendations, talk with you about why you're getting what you're getting, or how we maximize your tax so you paid exactly what you're supposed to pay and nothing more.
Hmm.
And then file a return. And actually, if you use our full service product, you're going to get your money within 60 seconds of filing.
Wow. So that's interesting to hear the time that you're saving and then the speed at which you'll mm-hmm. get it. The 80%+ of your tax filing being done because the information's already in there, that's a massive game changer. One thing we talk a lot about in Trading Secrets is just the cost of things. I think there are a lot of boutiques out there in credit rebuilding that, you know, it's human capital, so therefore mm-hmm. the prices can vary and be expensive. I think that's also the case with a lot of CPA groups, right? It's human capital, mm-hmm. people are expensive, and then the cost can be expensive. Do you have any information or any type of statistics or anything in that level as to relates to like the money that consumers save by using these products as opposed to maybe like other traditional avenues?
Yeah, and so we'll be sharing a lot more of okay. that, right? That's part of what we're capturing as we go through. How much do we actually save a consumer, right? And we will share that with them. It just varies by
person,
situation,
cost, yeah. Et cetera. Yeah, that makes sense.
But like consolidating a high yield credit card debt into a personal loan can save someone $1,000 a year,
yeah.
as an example. And those are real numbers. I love your point that you made. What's about like this?
The siloed approach
yeah. To personal finance right now. We're basically leveling that out.
Yeah.
And we're entirely on the consumer side, right? So your data, your information should yield you the best outcomes for you as an individual. That's what's really powerful about our platform. We've got an incredible set of partners that work with us mm-hmm. Across our Credit Karma platform, but it's all customer centric. It's yeah. all based on their data, based on what's best for them. And you will be guided and we will do the work for you. And that's the biggest part that we see is just getting started is hard for people.
Mm-hmm.
So let's make it easy.
Yeah.
Getting started on debt consolidation
yeah.
sounds very easy as a topical theme, right? It's like, oh yeah, consolidate your debt.
Yeah.
It's like, well, why?
What do I do? Where do I go? What do I yeah. save? All that.
Yeah. All of that is going to be done for you mm-hmm. within our platform. And then it gets you onto this path. When you hear stories, this is where I look in my career, I've looked for a lot of meaning. Like where I work matters to me.
Sure.
Because it has to do something beneficial for someone.
Right.
And that's going back to my first conversations I had in TurboTax with customers. what you hear from TurboTax customers, what you hear from Credit Karma members, is the profound impact that what you do has on their life. Mm-hmm. In Credit Karma, changing people's credit score led to them buying a home, their first home, led to them potentially starting up their own business, mm-hmm. led to them being able to change their circumstances. TurboTax, same thing. That money meant a lot to people. And you hear the stories from them about how they've used that money to change their lives.
Yeah.
And increasingly with our small business platform, for us, we've just launched small business taxes. Mm-hmm. You hear the hopes and dreams of those small businesses and how what we do enables them to go live those dreams. It's amazing, mm-hmm. actually. Yeah. And so now back to the consumer platform side, by connecting our data, by building seamless experiences, we can be at the center of their personal financial journey every day.
Yeah.
And for people, it's 75% of Americans make under $100,000 a year. Those decisions that you make daily, where mm-hmm. you're going to put your money, mm-hmm. what you should spend on, what you shouldn't spend on, how do you consolidate your debt? How do you get into high investment or high yield savings accounts? Where should I? Should I buy into crypto?
Sure. Right?
Like this is
sure.
all becoming a much more accessible to everybody.
Yeah.
But it's very daunting
yeah.
every day to make those decisions.
Yeah.
And our number one job is to make that easy. Do it for them.
Mm-hmm.
And to your point, do it at the best price possible across the entire chain.
Yeah.
Whether they pay directly with us or they, you know, end up going to one of our partners and getting a credit card with someone.
Sure. Right? Of course. It makes perfect sense. I mean, I had a friend literally yesterday write me a message, be like, I own a home. I'm thinking about going to rent. I have student debt. Here's what my income is. Here's what my credit score is. Can you help me go yeah. through this? I'll pay you whatever to do it. Right. And it's a friend. I'm like, no, let's just jump on a call. But I will spend probably a good like hour breaking it down, another hour, a couple hours going through it with her, helping her out. But like the problem today is that her resource is to ask a friend to help her with
totally.
That because she doesn't have any form of technology to do so. And then I think about what is something you can look at historically. Well, historically, we've always seen when silos are broken down by technology and advancements, it's usually benefiting the customer and reduced cost, ease, and
absolutely.
More options. I think, you know, you just can't deny it. Whatever your opinion are, you can't deny it. Amazon's a good example of that, right? They've taken a lot of silos in purchasing and made it easier for us to compare
absolutely.
Prices, get it to
absolutely.
Our door, get it there faster at a low price point. And I think with all these silos in the finance world, this is just like it's inevitable and it's brilliant and it doesn't, I think people get paralyzed in the paralysis of analysis with finances because they either don't know, they're confused, or they're afraid to make the wrong decision.
Absolutely.
And the idea that AI is there to be like, listen, these are your options. If you choose to consolidate your debt, this is literally exactly how much you're going to save doing so. It's already, here's the payment structure
totally.
Set out for you. The decision's made for you based on facts, not gray area, right? Not opinion, black and white. And I think that, I know you guys are going to go through the analysis to see what the cost structure will be. My personal prediction, which is just as meaningful as, it's only meaningful to me, but take it for whatever it's worth, the cost will go down and the offerings will be greater and it'll impact. And the other thing I think is really interesting, being someone who worked at a bank for 10 years, they're making money off your deposits. They're making money off your non-deposit income mm-hmm. and interest rates and fees, right? That's how their income source is. So that's how their model is sourced. So their model isn't built really on consultative information to help you because that is not the traditional means to their P&L. And so when I think about competition, I don't think there's anyone at this point that can do what you guys are doing with the ease of doing it. And I don't think traditional banks can even exist without it. So it makes perfect sense. It's pretty, really cool to hear about. And then my question for you is, as a 40-year-old company, when you think about the speed at which things are changing and you have this like little crystal ball in front of you, you know, what then comes? We talked about what's coming. What do you think will be next? And then even another question to add to that would be, how do you stay ahead of it? Like, how do you continue to be ahead of the curve?
You know, I think it's the single most important thing that we need to solve as an organization. I think you solve it and I think Intuit's done a phenomenal job. Otherwise, you know, when you look back in history, there aren't many 45-year-old companies that started off as DOS companies operating in today's AI world.
Yeah, no.
There just aren't.
No.
And so culturally, it's really embedded in the company. Like I said, though, the pace is changing. And it's the way, you know, the reason why I came in as the director of contact centers, managing the contact centers for TurboTax, but I was afforded the opportunity to start to be very creative and think about different ways to solve customer problems. And it was a place where I was encouraged to take risks. Hmm. I didn't know how successful things were going to be, but I thought there was an idea. I'll give you an example. We have a product called TurboTax Live. Okay. It's actually bridging human intelligence and at the time, it was our software intelligence. Now it's AI intelligence. Had no idea it was going to work. I thought the new mediums of video plus the internet was a really cool combination. You could do things differently than in a desktop software world.
Yeah.
So we ran some experiments. And the first feedback we got on it was really bad. Yeah. But when it was good, it was, wow, it's like having a tax pro at my kitchen table. Like you and I are sitting here
sure.
together right
yeah.
now. We bridged that divide with this product when it worked.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, there's something here.
Yeah.
Let's go build around that. And so you have to create a culture of that because the reality is you don't know. You yeah. have to have an experimentation culture. We have something called Design for Delight where we're super customer centric. You take feedback and insights from customers, design, go back for feedback and build. So you have to have this culture of continuous learning because the future is never clear.
Yeah, sure.
It's by definition, but it's there in front of you.
Right.
You could see it all around you. It's just about having the appetite to lean in and experiment. And Intuit's done a phenomenal job of encouraging that. We just need to do it at a much faster pace. We can learn much faster now with AI.
Yeah, interesting. That's how you kind of stay ahead of the curve. I'm just curious, how does Intuit's consumer platform then, so Intuit's consumer platform stays ahead of the curve with those yeah. precise examples and tactics. Then once you're ahead of the curve, do you have any, and I think a lot of people listening to this might be able to connect with it with their businesses or what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Then how do you actually strategically differentiate from competitors who yeah. are also trying to do the same thing to stay ahead of the curve?
Yeah.
The strategic differentiation element, how do you do that?
You know, for us, it doesn't change for us. It's all about our customer and our customer feedback. We have really incredible customer feedback loops. Not a lot of companies do.
Interesting.
And I think it's not like you have to keep innovating. You have to know, mm-hmm. but you have to thread that to customers. And so the intensity with which we stay connected to our customers, we learn, we pivot. It's not much different than what you have to do to stay ahead
yeah.
is also differentiate. Every customer interaction matters.
Yeah,
the details matter. Velocity in today's world matters an awful lot because you have to stay more innovative and faster and first to market more than ever before.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, it's not like, I wish I could give you like, hey, there's this formula. There's not a formula, but it goes back to the cultural elements. It's about listening and learning. And it's about being willing to continuously challenge yourself. That will not just keep you ahead, but it'll also differentiate you.
Yeah.
And so like for me, I'm never satisfied with our product.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah. sometimes, you know, the human nature is, oh, our product's perfect.
Yeah.
Right. Like you don't want to say like, oh, no, we've got these four or five things that we could do much better in.
Yeah.
And so it's like you have to do that. That's what also differentiates you from your competitive base as
Makes
well.
Makes sense. I positioned that question intentionally with the next question because I was doing research and I saw when I'm, you know, especially when people hear this, we hear these trends and we see companies just go all in, right? And there are these massive, like, okay, AI only. And this is what I thought was interesting is that while I'm reading the press release and doing the research, you guys are actually going to open new TurboTax physical locations. Yeah. So that's like obviously the polar opposite of the trends that we're seeing, which also feels kind of like a differentiator. So when I did read that, I was like, huh, makes sense, but also, huh, why? So tell me a little bit about what that thought process
is. It's such a great, it's totally different than what
it's like counterintuitive, totally but also counterintuitive. Is intuitive.
Totally. And that's where I think you have to go.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You have to be able to lead in that space because it is counterintuitive.
Yeah. Which is refreshing though, because in my physical location, yes. Like,
yeah.
Sometimes I want to walk through a door.
Exactly.
I want to talk to a human.
And this is where the world is never that binary.
Right.
The world operates in the gray, right? And it's an and, right? So yes, AI, yes, people will do their taxes within our system and not want to go anywhere. But there are 87 million people right now in this country that actually want to go and talk to somebody.
Mm.
87 million filers. And so it's like, wow, that's an interesting market. Why are they doing that? They could have done it with software for years, yeah. but they didn't. Hmm. So we started to experiment with storefronts. We started to experiment with physical locations. And what we learned is that our customers were five times more likely to connect to an expert that was within 15 miles of them. This was digitally.
Wow.
And so we said, let's try and run some experiments mm-hmm. on what it would mean to be actually local. And we liked what we saw. Hmm. And I think it's an and, right? It's a little bit like the conversations that we're having all over around, is it all AI? Are all jobs going away? And the answer is no. Like, mm-hmm. In fact, for us, what we have in our responsible AI principles, one of the key tenets is actually enhancing human talent. Mm. That's a defined principle that we have. We believe passionately that this capability enhances human talent. Right. It doesn't replace it. Yeah. And so when you think that way, you start to look for different angles, and it's just a matter of being in the right locations. And what we're uniquely positioned to do now, which is not the case in the previous physical iterations of storefronts, is we can scale on a platform. Hmm. And so all those capabilities that we bring, our experts in those stores have access to. And so the interactions are super personal, they're data driven, mm-hmm. and they're fast,
yeah.
which is really important for people, even going to a store.
Yeah.
And we need to meet people where they are.
Yeah.
We will meet them in LLMs. We will meet them in our storefronts, and they can come to us directly in our properties and we will serve them. But that's what you see. That's where you see this customer base going. So we need to be there.
I feel foolish for asking, what's LLMs mean?
Oh, sorry. The large language models, like the open AIs of the world.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha,
yeah.
Gotcha,
yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So they're.
Do you know, it's 80 million people that want to actually see someone. That I mean, you can't ignore
it's
about
amazing.
A fourth of the U.S. Yeah. population. Then how do you determine what locations, or have you determined what locations?
We're going to have about 20 locations this year that are actual retail stores.
Okay.
We have 600 service centers, though, which are largely more virtual service, but you have to be local, right? Because you would want to work with someone that understands tri-state area taxes.
Sure.
Like if you're sitting in Montana, you may not understand, right? Like as an expert. So like being local is important here. Mm-hmm. So across the world. So we have 600 total locations, 20 of which will be retail locations.
Interesting.
And what we learned when we started to go local, quote unquote, our expert network has always been virtual. You know, the 15,000 experts that I mentioned earlier, they've always worked from home. Mm-hmm. And what we noticed is that actually where we were in all 50 states, we were within a 10-mile distance of over 80% of American taxpayers. Mm. And we're like, wow, we've never connected those two.
Right.
So last year we started to connect those. And this is where we learned actually driving impressions. We drove over 1 billion impressions when we went local.
Wow.
Which is a lot in a tax season, right? A 3-month tax season.
Right.
We then learned that customer segment that we weren't serving really does value the interaction first. Sometimes they're willing to call in. Many times they're willing to do the video. But many times they want to go into a store.
Hmm. Interesting.
And so that's what we learned as we started to experiment in that. And just looking at two different data points, right? Like we were everywhere in the country through our expert network.
Yeah.
But we never unlocked that. Let's go figure out how to unlock that on a local basis.
Yeah.
And then when we started doing that, we learned these different patterns, and we started to look at the different locations where having an actual retail presence would make sense.
Fascinating. It's unbelievable you guys are doing. I'm beyond impressed. I know that my followers are listening to this. I got to be honest. I'm listening to this wondering like, all right, next steps. Like, where do I go to get more information, to learn more about this, to actually bring it to my life? So where do we go from here?
Well, there are multiple ways that you can do it. But the place where I would start and recommend is download the Credit Karma app.
Okay.
Right? Because the Credit Karma app will start you on your financial journey beyond taxes, but it also will give you access to all of our local expertise as well for your taxes.
Okay, got it.
So you can get that all done within the Credit Karma app. If you want to search for your local TurboTax expert, go into Google and do a TurboTax near me.
Okay.
And we will show up with our storefront, with our experts that are there locally, and then you actually can schedule time or contact them directly right through our local search ads.
Okay. All right. So guys, in the show notes, we'll put the link to the app. Then we'll also do that Google search. We'll find the link. We'll put that in the show notes. It's really incredible to see what is coming around the corner, especially in a place where so many people need help with their finances and just don't know where to go. So I love it. Before we wrap and get your trading secrets, we're going to put you in the personal finance hot chair. I got some quick rapid fire for the EVP himself. And let's rip some trading secrets. Here. You ready?
I am.
All right. The first investment you ever made.
You know, the first investment, it's funny. The very first investment I ever made was my first job.
Okay.
Not the
ice cream.
Not the ice cream.
Okay.
My very first corporate job, if you will, was to invest my 401k.
Let's go.
Which a lot of people don't do.
I know.
And it's the most important thing, you know, and again, I was very fortunate. I had a dad that was he coached me on a lot of personal finance journeys, right? He was incredible. So that was my very first investment, my first ever individual stock that I ever bought,
like
where I got really spicy was Cisco.
Cisco. All right. Still ripping, still roaring. Yeah, I love it.
It went through some times. Right?
Oh, yeah. It's a great
moment,
but I'm sure over the years that one's paid off. Yeah. All right. What about one bad money habit that you've overcome?
You know, this is thanks to my wife. I enjoy buying right now old cars.
Cool. That's cool.
And I enjoy working on old cars, but she's controlled my appetite on that.
Give me like
it's a money pit.
It's a money pit. Like, give me like one that you're like, this was my favorite.
My 1974 Ford Bronco.
Oh, that's so cool.
It's a beautiful
car. What color is it?
It's red, white, and blue.
Wow. Right?
It's so all American.
Do you still have it?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like you could sell that at a premium.
I know. Those are popping. I have been stopped on the road and offered. My wife was like, you should take it. I'm like, nope.
Wow. I love you. Like, I'm not here to get a return. So, this is my money pit.
So, you know, that's a vice that I have.
I like
it. And you have to control it.
I like it. All right. What about a professional risk that you've made that paid off? I can tell you one that's maybe controversial on my end. I got an MBA. I still to this day, I'm like, I don't know if the cost of that paid off. But what's a professional risk you took that paid off?
You know, there was a time, you know, and I had explained, I was a finance major. I started off as a financial analyst at a company inputting orders. I went into sales and marketing, and somebody asked me if I was interested in getting into services.
Mm.
And I got a lot of advice not to do that.
Yeah.
Because it was like, hey, listen, you're at the end. You really like being at the front.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
Yeah,
and
really?
I'm super glad I made that change. I don't think I'd be here in this job leading this amazing franchise without making that decision.
Mm.
Because it taught me everything about what it takes to actually bring an entire company to serve a customer.
Interesting.
Versus just developing a product.
Yeah.
Right? Versus marketing, which I was in Latin America, right? It was, and it really is the fulcrum of all of those and how it manifests itself at that moment that your customer is trying to use your product or service. It's awesome.
Yeah.
You learn so much why they're using it, what they're doing, what it means to them, whatever product or service that you're building. And I'm super glad I made that call, but it could have gotten me in. And what people advised me was like, listen, you like to be upfront. You've been upfront in the company before. This is in the back, right? This is building the experiences that matter for consumers. And that's what I loved about it. It's like, that is the moment of truth.
Yeah. I think the trading secret I take away from that is sometimes you have to take lateral positions or even perceive positions as a step back to actually get you four steps ahead.
And
I think you see that with every profession. Like Taylor Swift has done that, right?
Yeah.
I think no matter what genre you're in, you see people make lateral or steps back to make like six steps forward. So that's a good one. All right. What's the best business advice you've ever received and who is it from?
I'll go back to my dad.
Okay.
And the business advice he gave me was stay curious and solving problems. Don't ever try to settle on anything and don't get pigeonholed, right? What he had basically advised me is don't get anchored on any one component of a company.
Mm.
That's his definition of pigeonholed, right? So he was he studied accounting and worked for a large company and stayed in finance his whole career. And what he advised me is, I wish I would have taken a risk and gone into marketing.
Mm.
I wish I would have taken a risk and gotten into sales or into operations. And he said, I didn't do that because I ended up going totally vertical, which is fine if that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
But his advice to me was, just go try everything.
Interesting.
And even if you don't have the experience in sales, for instance, when I went into sales, I'm not a salesperson.
Yeah.
Like I'm just not, like I never thought myself as a salesperson, but I loved it. I got to meet a bunch of different people, solve customer problems. I'm like, oh, this is fun. Hmm. And then they called me up for Latin America marketing. I'm like, I had marketing classes, but I'm not like your expert in marketing. And that's what I love actually about this job as well. Is like it's given me a canvas to be able to work in so many different dimensions.
Yeah.
And my dad was always about constantly learning and doing different things because it enriches your experience at a company. I get in this job, I'm super fortunate right now. I get to work with marketing teams.
Yeah.
I get to work with product development teams, engineers, like the brilliant engineers.
Yeah.
I get to work with product managers, designers, and that makes it richer for me to go to work every day.
Sure.
I did that throughout my whole career, right? As I navigated all these different things. And that's what my dad taught me. He said, you should go when you're young, go and do everything. Do not be intimidated by whether you know something or not. Take risks in your career. It'll pay off in the end. And it did for me. It's enabled me to do this job. I wouldn't be able to do this job, I don't think. Well, my boss will determine whether it's successful or not, is as much as I think I am doing right now without that breadth of experience across my career. I've done everything. I'm not coded, although I did do some of that early in my career, but it's amazing.
Yeah.
And so I think everyone should try to do that. If that's what your desire is, like don't, if you want to learn about business, if you want to learn about how products are succeed or don't succeed or services, try everything.
Yeah. And I think especially like you've talked a lot about change today and like the way things are changing, if you're not staying ahead of it, you'll fall behind it. And the best way to be resilient is like have experience in a lot of things. Yeah. And at this point, now you're a podcaster. Maybe you'll start a podcast. Let's wrap.
I'm not sure, man, about that.
Hey, new experiences. All right, let's wrap with this. Finish this sentence. The smartest money move most people don't make is?
Get into a compounding interest vehicle early.
Got it.
Take a small percentage of your paycheck as soon as you start working and put it into a 401k. If you don't have access to a 401k, put it in high yield savings. That is the most important thing you can do.
We
tend to overlook that and think that you have to go to, you know, some big investment, you know,
vehicle.
Make a bet on some stock.
Yeah.
The actual reality is just take a percentage, 10%, and put it away into one of those vehicles. You'll be happy you did.
I love it. Time is your best friend. Be on top of it. Well, Mark, it's been so fun to have you on Trading Secrets, but we got to wrap with a trading secret. So it's something about, I mean, we've got a lot today, but a lot about either it could be financial management, life management, career management, anything. It's just a trading secret that you can't learn from a professor. You can kind of only learn through your experience. So Mark, what could your trading secret be to leave us with?
You know, that's putting me on the spot for sure. But my advice is always remember what's important to you and prioritize that.
I love it. And you exemplify that in your time management skills and all your career decisions. I always like to say, what is the trading secret I learned from you? I think the trading secret I learned from you is innovate and create, but also use as many people as you can and leverage the power of people's opinions to learn from them. And then I also think no matter where you are in your career, don't be intimidated. And at the same time, when you do hit the level of leadership in which people might be intimidated by you, make sure that you're accessible. And I think that at the end of the day, it's like change. Is constant. You got to innovate today.
Yep.
You just got to innovate. So it's been a pleasure to have you on. For everyone listening, we will have all those links in the show notes. A lot happening and a lot happening in our favor as we work to improve all of our financial skills and management. So Mark, thank you for being on Trading Secrets.
Thank you for having me, Jim.
This is awesome.
Appreciate it. Yeah, it was great.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.